This was the week when HKEX enjoyed two separate sets of conversations. How much money can they get from the banks and the investors? Well, some of them are saying, what do we want? 20%. LSE deal, is it on? Welcome to the Exchange Invest Weekly. My name is Patrick L. Young. Indeed, the Hong Kong Exchange's LSE potential deal leads once again. Remember, we've got a big calendar day coming this week, the 9th of October. Will the LSE be talking or will the deal go hostile? What we know is the Hong Kong Exchange has been talking to a lot of bankers. They're looking to raise the cash component of their bid, clearly. Investors are asking for anywhere up to 20% more in terms of the total bid value, and they want that in cash. Interesting to see what takes place next week. Meanwhile, in deals this week, Nasdaq have sold their stake in Skila to Max Sievert, the investor based in Sweden. They've had a minority shareholding as a result of their acquisition of Cinnober, who separately had held that Skila shareholding for over a decade. Euroclear, watch this space. The story begins. Hellman & Friedman, massive US buyout group, apparently exploring a bid. So at least the investment bankers leaked to us this week, it seems, via their friends at the Financial Times. A potential offer could value Euroclear at up to £5 billion. How much is Euroclear worth once they clear out the seven tiers of Belgian middle management, I wonder? The answer, I believe, is a great deal more. But of course, that requires some form of Congress Vienna-like settlement in order to build a new European settlement structure, which is going to be actually not owned by a group of different people. It's going to be a series of different structures in different places. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. Public offerings this week, Bursa Kuwait have launched their offering. It started on the 1st of October, going to run all the way through to December the 1st. So a massive opening window there. Subscription is open. The government's going to be selling a 50% stake. That will leave them with only 6%. While, of course, as you will remember from previous podcasts and indeed the Exchange Invest Daily newsletter, 44% of the organisation is in the hands of a consortium who invested earlier this year, comprising the Athens Stock Exchange, National Investments Company, First Investment Company, and Arzan Financial Group. Apart from the Greeks, of course, they're all based in Kuwait. Nasdaq beefed up their very interesting governance solutions business this week with the addition of the Centre for Board Excellence, Sound Parish Stewardship for Better Boards. Elsewhere, the Philippine Stock Exchange announced that it has spent 445 million Philippine dollars in buybacks. Bursa Istanbul have restructured their main markets. They're going to have a couple of large free market floating bourses and indeed two tierings of star startup or at least SME markets, akin to something like the UK AIM but divided in two. The Indonesian Central Bank, they are paving the way for a derivatives clearinghouse to reduce risks, we were told by the good folks of Reuters, while the Business Times in Singapore noted that the Stock Exchange of the City State, SGX, aims to be the single point of access to Asia. Cboe's European post-Brexit share trading hub in Amsterdam got off to a quiet start for trading late in the week. Exchange Invest is the daily must-read by the most influential figures operating the world's best markets. We invite you to join the exclusive group of bourse bosses and other C-suite executives who make Exchange Invest the exchange of information, their daily business intelligence guide to markets the world over. Exchange Invest is available to subscribers at $200 per user per year or currency equivalent. You can get more details at exchangeinvest.com. Or email me, patrick@derivativesvision.com. And of course, then we move on to data. Ooh, the SIP wars. Lots happening there. The stock exchanges have been dealt a blow, as Bloomberg Law put it, because the SEC is reviewing the powers to raise fees. Frankly, that strikes me as a highly contentious and prescriptive move. Can we investigate overcharging by investment banks in a cartel-like fashion as well? It amounts to a great deal more money than data fees, a great deal higher percentage than data fees. And indeed, curiously, isn't it interesting how when you go for, say, an IPO, all listing fees and all related fees all seem to have an almost uncannily similar tone of financing from one bank to the next. DLT Malta is the book of the blockchain island, consisting of thoughts from leading local advocates and practitioners of the crypto economy, led by the Prime Minister, the Honourable Joseph Muscat MP. DLT Malta is edited by myself, Patrick L. Young, and Joseph Anthony de Bono. The book can be obtained from all leading bookstores worldwide. If you want to understand Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptocurrency, and the broader impact of the distributed ledger, this book is packed with insights and information about the potential for the technology. DLT Malta, Thoughts from the Blockchain Island, is published by DV Books on behalf of the industry association Blockchain Malta, in bookstores now. Cum-Ex rattles on. The EU watchdogs have finally woken up. They're worried about double tax reclaims. They're going to try and review and produce some regulation against that. Yes, I'm in two minds about that. Of course, they need to regulate and stop this absolutely disgusting situation of, frankly, theft by greedy bankers. But at the same time, is the EU really fit to produce cohesive, rapidly produced, coherent law? Well, on one side, we have MiFID II. That worries us a great deal, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? How everyone looks at it, I don't have a lot of faith that the EU can coherently regulate in a short period of time. Meanwhile, Merrill Lynch hid tax fraud profits, one trader has told the court as this scandal rumbles on. In the world of alchemy, I suppose, from the Middle Ages, the art of trying to make gold out of, well, any old thing, you know, recycled, I don't know, toenail clippings or something. Everybody's been talking in the last couple of centuries, or certainly the last century, about the concept of a free lunch. And when it comes to nobody's free lunch, that's the whole issue behind stock commissions, and indeed, commission-free trading. Commission-free trading is now all the zeitgeist of the US equity market. However, thankfully, Interactive Brokers Chairman and CEO Tom Peterffy has weighed into the affair and pointed out the fact that even though he's now offering a commission-free trading device, it's all about being a trade war. It helps investors potentially save money, but above all else, it's not free. Thank you, Thomas Peterffy, for a blunt and transparent statement, a clarification. There is no such thing as a free lunch. He speaks the truth where others claim to have invented the free lunch in a way which actually briefly attracted the attention of alchemists everywhere. This is just a way of concealing commissions by selling your order flow to probably get you worse execution, and it's a mess. I'm actually completely against the whole concept of commission-free trading because it's simply storing up a huge, huge, huge bonanza for the legal fraternity and multiple class action suits in the future. There is no such thing as a free lunch, and zero commission does not mean no cost. Meanwhile, in People News, TPI Cap's long-standing director, Angela Knight, who's been a non-exec around there for a couple of terms, she's going to be stepping down. In the same week, I hear from my agents in the Square Mile that she's also joined the court of the Worshipful Company of Bankers. Congratulations to Angela on an excellent term with TPI Cap, and all the best with the Guild of Bankers. Elsewhere, Wu Lijun, who is the Shenzhen Stock Exchange's Communist Party Secretary and Chairman, has become Vice Chairman and General Manager of the vast financial conglomerate Everbright. Congratulations to him. Meanwhile, Euronext FX have added the veteran Ben White into the fold. And indeed, speaking of Euronext, one of their most illustrious alumni, Lee Hodgkinson, the CEO of OSTC, the multifaceted company that began as a prop trader, but does a great deal more these days in all sorts of parts of the world, he's becoming the non-executive chairman of BMLL Technologies, a data engineering as a service company. All the best to Lee, and indeed, all the best to BMLL Technologies on picking a very, very astute chairman. Regulation news, Ledger X claim that personal animus drove the former CFTC chair to stall approvals for the crypto exchange. Oof, that sounds like a bit of a challenging argument for the future. Let's just not go there, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? There's a good article in CNBC, actually, this week, TV18, that's the Indian subsidiary, Why Everyone Loves to Hate SEBI. Certainly a headline I think that a lot of people have said over the years. CFTC were quite active. They were fining a number of people, including a couple of the FX options brokers. But overall, it was a quiet week for regulation per se. Technology news, ladies and gentlemen. Percival's CSD solution, Depend, has gone live in Ukraine, and the Japanese Exchange Group have a schedule for setting up systems at their new secondary data center. Once again, a reasonably quiet week in the whole technology remit as well. Over in products, a flurry of news. There's a new rule about ETFs from the SEC that's encouraged the Intercontinental Exchange, who we know are planning an ETF hub. The launch is coming sometime this month. Meanwhile, Nasdaq cracked down on the IPOs of small Chinese companies, as we heard actually briefly in the last installment of this weekly podcast. Quite fascinating. It's, of course, very, very good example of all the problems that may arise between the London-Shanghai Connect in the near future and the many advantages that you have from a Hong Kong-London Stock Exchange tie-up, because Hong Kong being in the same time zone, being actually in the same overall administrative area, albeit they're an SAR under their own system, but they are connected to the Chinese landmass, it must be a great deal easier to manage these sorts of things in a way that Nasdaq has struggled with, quite understandably, by dint of being on the other side of the world. Meanwhile, the second element to that story was his insane Trumpiness. The President of the United States of America was saying something about banning Chinese listings altogether. Not helpful for free markets per se, but surely manna from heaven at the prospect of a Hong Kong Exchange, London Stock Exchange tie-up, which could become a huge pan-Pacific capital marketplace. As usual, everybody worried, everybody concerned, nobody quite knows what's happening. Well, it all sounds a bit like Brexit, only with interest rates, frankly. Interesting story, though, I have to say, was 70% or more of European government bonds ended this week in negative territory, ladies and gentlemen. That strikes me as something that's only storing up problems for the future. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I think is a perfect note upon which to end this remarkably swift weekly bulletin. I'm terribly sorry it couldn't be longer, but actually we've had, well, an incredibly frantic fortnight in London. We've been recording a lot more podcast material, which will be coming to you soon in another format. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, on a personal note, victory or death, it's live. We had a magnificent launch with the Sheriff of the City of London, Alderman Professor Michael Minnelli, this week at the Guildhall in London, that most historic and storied business. The initial copies were distributed to a lucky few buyers who were in attendance on the course of the evening, and ultimately we've had a wonderful reception so far. I'm delighted to say the book is going to be parsing through the world's publishing systems, and it will be live in the very near future, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to a system near you, be it Amazon, be it a bookstore, be it all manners of distribution across the world. But admittedly, they don't quite run to T+2 in publishing, so it'll probably be about T+12 to T+20. However, Victory or Death is live. I have a few copies in my suitcase, and I'm now about to leave London. Thank you very much for joining me for the Exchange Invest Weekly. My name is Patrick L. Young. I look forward to speaking with you next week. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.